Kia ora tātou, nau mai, hara mai, ki haukainga, whiti whiti kōrero, short, sharp, sweet conversations about issues that are pertaining to te hiku, te tai tokerau, and Māoridom as a whole. Tonight, I'm very pleased to be able to share a kōrero about specialist natural areas, and I'm joined by three amazing guests. Two beautiful meti of mine, Huhana Linden, who is the co-chair of Whangaroa Ngaiotanga Trust, and also Sheridan Waitai, who is a Y262 claimant whānau representative, and also my whanaunga Andrew Kendall from Matihe Tehe Marae. Kia ora tātou. Whānau, this is a big issue, and the reason why we're speaking about this, Andrew has said it before, this particular take, SNAs could be seen as land theft by stealth. But I think actually I'd love to pass it across to you, Huhana, because you've got an excellent overview around this issue and why you believe it's important. Then I've got a few questions for each of you for us to go through and to speak from your respective positions as to why you think whānau, in particular landowners, need to be concerned about this consultation process and what it means to whānau Māori. So kia ora, Huhana. Please let us know, why is the SNA a big concern for our people?
Kia ora koutou, mihi ana kia koe e te tuakana kei Marie, me koutou o te hiku, e homa i tēnei wāhanga kia tātou ki te kōrero e pāna, ki tēnei kaupapa o te wā. SNAs are significant natural areas, and they have been identified in local government right now. So it's a national thing, it's rolled out across the country, but I want to take it back to where it came from. So last year, the government, through the Ministry for the Environment, put out what's called the National Policy Statement on Areas of Natural Biodiversity, and they sought for submissions on that. So that was about March 2020, COVID time. COVID hit. So we submitted, many of us did, on that national policy statement. And part of that included what was called SNAs, which are these significant natural areas. There are concerns at a national policy level over this NPS and its impacts on Māori generally. But what happened since last year to this year is that councils have started implementing that national policy statement around our natural biodiversity locally. So Northland Regional Council, through their regional policy statement, has started to engage, and we've got contractors who have been across our whenua, mapping our landscapes, our whenua, across Tai Tokerau, Putanua. It's happening across the motu, but we know in Tai Tokerau it's being conducted by a group called Wildlands Consultants, and they have mapped our whenua. Far North District Council now is the first council in our district to come out and advertise. This has only just happened last week, whānau, so it's just very new, advising us that they have identified whenua in our region, so some 280,000 hectares in the Far North District only, as SNAs, significant natural areas. Now, within the SNAs, there's over 600 SNAs in the Far North alone. Our problem with the SNAs in the Far North District Council is that about 50% of them are Māori. And a significant natural area is a place where there's scrub and there's native bush, and mo te whenua Māori, most of us do have a lot of that on our land. And in fact, in the Far North District, we have a lot of whenua Māori that is not utilised right now. Now, if you have identified SNAs, it's all mapped. You can go on the Far North District website, SNA, Google it, and you put in your address and you'll see what's called an overlay, a map, a shadow over your whenua. And if you have an SNA on there, when it comes time for you to want to do something, whether it's to clear the land for a bit of pasture, or to run some stock, or you want to go and put a batch up, or even start a papakāinga, you're going to need a resource consent. So you'll need to go through a full consenting process to touch that scrub, to touch that teak tree, or anywhere where some taonga species, fauna, could live or pass through. So that's it in a nutshell. It's a prohibitive action that's come from a national level, now down into the local level, that could prevent Māori and Pākehā landowners from any development on their whenua into the future. You'll be required to get a resource consent, even putting a shovel in the ground. You can't go too deep without a resource consent on that whenua with the scrub and the bush. So there's a lot of caution and a bit of worry up there around the impact of SNAs. And Far North District Council is the first council in Taitokiro to come out and ask for your feedback by the 24th of May. Kia ora.
Awesome, Huhana. Thank you. Great whakapapa of the issue here, and quite alarming that this particular national policy statement hasn't actually been formally tabled and accepted by the Crown, and yet regionally they're starting to take action. So that's a big concern for us, whānau. And also just in the comments, we've also put the link up so that you can also follow up with this particular consultation round and what's going on. And we are definitely urging you all to put forward your applications, your submissions, so that the council know this is not okay for you as a landowner. I'm going to pass it across to you, Sheridan, as a Y262 whānau representative. And of course, with that pōtai on, your commitment to the tai ao, ngā mea katoa, me te whenua, ngā taonga katoa, how does this particular consultation process affect you, and how do you feel as a claimant whānau?
Well, first of all, kia ora everybody. So I'm probably going to lead on an example that we've already had with the Department of Conservation, and since they were born 34 years ago, where they use parts of legislation to prohibit you and control the use of your whenua. So, for example, we have a science reserve, which is a significant part of our claim. So the science reserve was established by DOC and not by ourselves. And then what happens is you can't access your taonga, you have a break in your chain of Māori. So without that line of Māori between you and your taonga, you and your whenua, your relationship starts to deteriorate. Therefore your kaitiaki and your ability to meet your obligations starts to deteriorate. And that's been a huge issue for us as a claimant whānau, but as hapū and as iwi. And the thing is with council is they can't do what we do. They can never do what we do. But what they will do is use this piece of legislation from central government to position themselves when it suits. So when it suits, we'll use central government policy. When it doesn't suit us, oh, well, we're not part of central government and we're local government, therefore we make decisions. So there's a continuous divide. There's a continuous, I'd say, a space where neither central or local government have truly taken responsibility to carve out a space where we can have our own voice and speak for our own selves with our own taonga. And that's a responsibility they're meant to have. And that's been provided to us through Te Tiriti, which also allows them to be here. So, you know, there's this whole lack of trust. But if you look back on all the successive legislation, this doesn't look anything different. It's the same present with a different wrapper for us as whānau hapū iwi. One of the things I'm particularly concerned about is the definition of significance. So what happens in that space for us is others take a different narrative and then they use that narrative about your place in ways that then get weaponized against you and against us. And so our responsibility is who will speak for these taonga? It's us. Then no one else can. So, you know, when somebody else comes across you and defines what significance is, defines what this space is, they're continuing to keep that colonial narrative going and they're not allowing the true voice of the whenua. And that's our obligation, is all that taonga I tuku iho, every single creature, every single part of creation has its own reo. And it's our responsibility to lift its reo, lift its oho, lift its oro, its intention. And policies, they'll never enable mana motu hake. So yeah, I see it as a tool at the moment that displaces us from our whenua by creating other narratives. That's my 5 cents tonight, whānau. I'm literally clawed from the bush, like, I'm beautiful. I look like a kahi katoa.
Thank you, and I'm glad you've got the voice for our whenua and our taonga, Sheridan, and that's why it's beautiful. The work that you're doing with Y262 and the important work that will be coming out of this over the next few months ahead. So kia ora mō tērā whakaaro. Andrew, now you shared on Facebook that this particular issue is theft by stealth. And you were determined to ensure that our people of Matihetihe and our surrounding Hokianga communities were aware of that. Plus, you're also a kaitiaki of various forestry blocks and also a member of Matihetihe Marae. Why did you make that comment, Andrew, and why do you believe that that is the case?
Yeah, well, partly to be a bit provocative, I guess. Kia ora tātou, and firstly, just me to my kaikōrero, and I think Sheridan, you've touched on exactly the point when I talk about stealth and the narrative, and controlling the narrative, controlling the story of why this needs to be done, and even potentially linking it with potential of removal of rates requirements on those areas. It all sounds very nice, it all sounds very good, but every layer that comes in of bureaucracy over our whenua is a layer of rangatiratanga removed. And while I say it's by stealth, it's because of the narrative, because it all sounds so good. I mean, when you talk about protecting our endangered species and native flora and fauna, it all sounds very good. You know, and so those are things that we can all buy into. But again, it's that's why I'm talking about the land grabbing by stealth. There's a narrative here, there's a clear purpose of this these controls, and it's as far as I'm concerned, it's a direct attack on our rangatiratanga. So for us here in the Hokianga, it's going to affect everyone, but for us here in the Hokianga, we have the probably one of the unique places in Aotearoa where the people who are kāinga noho here, who are living here, are still the descendants of those who were here prior to the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi. And so we've held that kaitiakitanga since long before that time, and we've continued to exercise it over that time, and now they want to come and bring these things on top of us. That whenua hasn't been developed for a long time for a number of reasons, but these changes and these reforms ensure that we never will. Those decisions need to retain with us. That's our decisions to be made. And yes, I was being a bit provocative, but there's a lot of truth in what I was saying, and as far as I'm concerned. And I think a part of that little kōrero that I spoke about, my mum, and she used to bring this up to me a lot, and she used to talk about if we don't do something with our whenua, the council's going to take it. And I said to mum, don't be silly. They can't do that. We own it. Well, here you go. Sorry, mum, you are right. You know, and how they're doing it, it's by stealth. Absolutely by stealth. We might have our names on the titles, our names on the shareholding, but we have no say or bugger all say what's going to happen on that print or what we can do, which is what we've had. And so that's why I'm not really someone who will stick my head up above the parapet unless I'm prepared for it to get shot off. And for this issue, I'm quite happy to stick it up. So yeah, that's why I'm here. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Andrew. Kia ora. Just to add on to that, Kay Marie, this is a Crown enforced rahui on our whenua against our tikanga and against our mana whakahaere. If we want to rahui pieces of our land, we know how to do that and we're more than capable of doing it. The problem is that it's been mapped on our behalf without our consent, and then it's been mapped by Tauiwi, as Sheridan's pointed out. They've identified species and rākau and water and repo on our whenua, and then by the 24th of May, if we complete their survey, we agree with what they've recorded on our whenua or not. And we're asked, do we agree with what they have pulled together on our behalf without us? And the national policy statement empowers local government to do this to us and then to monitor its implementation without us. No te tiriti adherence or obligations upheld within that.
That's right. And I think there's a bigger, I mean, of course, there's a treaty issue here in particular, a potential and significant breach, especially if they start to prevent whānau who wish to develop their whenua at some point in time, that they're going to have to pay a pūtea for that right and privilege, which is your own land. And other important point to note, whānau, is that majority of the blocks that have been mapped in this particular instance are majority Māori land and also dockland, which we could also say is Māori land as well. But Pākehā private title has not been included in this mapping. Some of it may be impacted, but not as much as Māori land. And I guess my particular challenge around this is that we've got so many whānau and so many blocks that are not, that do not have any kaitiaki over it, that yes, they might remit rates, but whānau will then incur a big debt or be prevented from returning home to develop their whenua as they wish. So what are your thoughts, Sheridan, on what might the solution be for us as uri of Te Tai Tokero? What is the message that we need to be providing to council on these matters?
Well, from where I sit, we'll push it through our iwi chairs forum. So it will go through, particularly for us as Ngāti Kuri, through to council via that way. So I'm not encouraging, well, I've let our whānau know, like, this is the process that's going out, remembering that it's a council process, it's not ours. And our silence speaks our truth here in Ngāti Kuri. If we're not engaging in it, if we're not saying anything, that's because we don't support it. If we're supporting something, we're all in, boots and all. So we'll let, at a political level, Harry start to address those issues for us, well, through our board. And, you know, I think we're quite strong in ourselves that we don't let council behave in certain ways, and we don't often have them at the marae. I would strongly encourage, as a solution, because I'll be honest, we've had wildlands up. We've been there, done that. We've got a crew of scientists. We've you know, gone across our land with our own mātauranga. Then we've also mapped it with research and science. But we own the data. We control the data. Nothing goes out beyond us. So if there was a solution here, the solution is that we need to own that data. Whatever whenua is going on, there needs to be controls around the use of that data, because that's the source of it. The policy roles, they get the information, then they interpret that, then they start bidding for resource. Mm-hmm. And then when we want to go for resource, you want to restore your land or you want to do this, you have to go through council. Only council can apply for this government fund. And we've seen that with TIF. That's a classic example, the Tourism Infrastructure Fund. We're hosting just as much manuhiri as anybody else, but we can't go it alone for that fund. We can't go it alone for investment. We have to go via local government. Those are some of my solutions around owning our own data, being in control of how that's used. But there's bigger problems here, eh? There's real bigger problems here. And, you know, the Māori wards is a great thing, but it's more than having Māori wards. And it's about us acting like owners, actually acting and like we own it. And behaving in ways that, it's like when you build a waka, you make that vessel like your life depends on it. And quite frankly, our life depends on our taiao. So you need to step up and act like you own it. Not, you know, not just yourself as an individual, your whānau and your hapū, and start to find your voice and speak into those spaces. That would be me.
Kia ora. What about you, Huhana? What are your thoughts? What do you think we need to be doing collectively, and what should council be doing in regards to this mahi too?
I share the same concerns as Sheridan, Emata, Andrew, in terms of council's role and their assertion of, implementing these strategies or identifying our lands, our resources, our taonga without our consent. Pai te Pākehā, he pai te Pākehā. Engari, ki runga anō I o tātou ake tikanga. So I have no problem with a consultant coming in and doing work for us on our terms and us setting the guidelines and the methodology, and then we retain that data for use according to our kaupapa. But likewise, we've had problems with regional council and Whangaroa Ngai o Tonga, who have deemed our repo and waterways as taonga. And they've put us into this waterway plan, and it's all very lovely. Engari, ka hore mātahu e mōhio, we didn't even know. And that's a prohibition again. That's another barrier for us when they go and identify our waterways and our repo as significant places. We have had no input, and we don't agree that you can document us in this way without our consent. Same again with Far North District Council. And it's being empowered through national government down into regional, and they continue to do this. So it is a bigger fundamental issue around Crown continuing to create these incursions into our rohe and onto our whenua. And you're right, Sheridan, it's time for us to mobilise and affirm and assert our rangatiratanga over our taonga species, over our whenua, over our waterways, and work together on these issues. So it's good that we can have iwi, hapū, whenua, trust, marae, affirm the same key messages. And that's where that unity to Andrew's pointed out, that he's a wonderful matua, but this requires action at all levels, yeah. Because again, another raupatu. It's another raupatu on our people.
Yeah.
Kia ora. And Andrew, what are your final thoughts on the matter in regards to solutions and thinking about it from the kāinga as well? You know, these are really big issues for home. What are your thoughts here?
I've got a bit of a call to action plan, I think, which should be good for us. And, because these are things that are hard to get your head around. And time's short. We've only got till the 24th of this month to get some feedback back in for this. And so what I'm thinking we need to be doing is I would like to see us all responding. I'd like to see all our Māori organisations, all our marae, all our landowners, all our lūnanga, putting in submissions and also saying we want to orally submit when these submissions come up. We want to be there to speak to our submissions. Clog their systems up. Set a template, which I think we're working on, Huhana's been working on, to get a template out for our whānau to build on. Adapt it to your own purposes. Secondly, I think my hoarangatira this morning says to me about that survey. I thought it was a bloody good idea. Was that perhaps we respond to those surveys, but not in the way they're expecting us to respond. You know, I think the first question is the, let me have a look, something to do with the question is something like, do you regard this area as a significant natural area of significance? Well, maybe if we all answered no to that question and many others like it, as a protest reaction to that, to me, I'd like to see us clog their systems up, and what more can be more powerful than at every level we're attacking this, and that's what it takes. I think that's what it's going to take for that voice
respond
to be
heard. None of your business, none of your business, council.
Yeah,
let's choke the whole system up. There's plenty of us.
But the, submission process is in itself, again, their process. That's the working part.
I agree.
Like going in to do submissions, like what Māori gets paid to write submissions 24/7? Because we all got jobs.
It is
a lifelong, you could work 24/7 writing submissions to certain policies in central government and local government. You know, we probably need to have a bit more of a kōrero around, well, you know, what does it really mean? And because for me, paiana tēnā, I'll always be up for the data, but in my control, the control in the hands of our people, you know, because that helps us to think about how we're positioning later. You know, what are we reading for? But again, I'm sort of think submissions a council process. What do we do? Do we just turn up outside the doorstep and say, no? You know, but then who also has a whole day to take off to go down wearing you down.
That's why we need to work as a collective on this, because all of us do. That's why we need to use their strengths where we can, and as they do to us, let's use their tools against them. You know, they use ours against us. Let's just do a bit of a role reversal here. There's no reason why we can't do the same thing.
That's what one of my aunties got in touch with me, and she said, I've been in touch with all my neighbours and we're doing a collective letter of rejection. And I said, good on you, auntie. She said, yep, Māori mai, Pākehā mai. We put our address in and we saw the map light up and shock. Māori mai, Pākehā mai, shocked. So for their little side of their rohe, they're doing a little collective letter to push back. And I said, make sure you request that you want to talk to your letter of rejection.
Yeah.
Because your united voice is stronger when you're together. So if we can get iwi, hapu, runanga, landowner groups who are mobilised on this, and just hold that space and push back.
Hey whānau, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you to our 70 plus whānau that are here joining us in this kōrero tonight. Anything regarding whenua Māori and any risks associated with our lands is always going to be a hot topic for everyone across Te Huku and Aotearoa. So it was really wonderful to hear your collective insights, and I'm hearing two things. From Sheridan, I'm hearing actually we are as owners. Why should we be answerable to anybody else? It's our whenua.
Right.
And therefore, if the council are going to have their process, that's their business. But in actuality, they have no right, no authority or no jurisdiction over our whenua. Yeah. So that's a position. And then also there is another position that I heard Andrew say, let's clog up these systems and let's make it really, really difficult for councils and actually force them to get back around the table. Because one of the critical issues that I see here is that this is potentially a discriminatory policy against Māori, because the majority of the land in question is ours. The second issue, of course, is that they did so without consent. They sent out people that were mapping, exploring and looking under the potential guise of significant natural areas, but in fact there are a bunch of rich resources, minerals, water sources that are in collective whenua in the north, and therefore they may be looking for other resources without your consent and you don't know. So I think that's a critical issue for us all to be worried about. In the links, in the comments, there is some opportunity for you to learn more about the SNA process. Do keep an eye out, because we're going to keep this conversation going. This is an issue of national significance for all Māori landowners. There will be a regional response to this matter, and we will look at how can we all collectively come together and think about a strategy moving forward. So Māori ora kia tātou. Thank you, whānau. I like that. Kia ora, Rosemary. Choke the system. Mobilise. Not one more acre. So with that in mind, thank you very much for coming to join us. Thank you, whānau, out there. And we'll keep you posted on developments as they come along. Pō Māori e.
Pō Māori e.
Ka kite, whānau.